Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator.
Welcome to Tokens Radio Show. This is Christy Matthews here with Linda Kent and Cameron Walfort. We have a great show in store for you today. We'll be hearing from Charlene the Crypto Queen reporting live from the Real Vision Takeover in Las Vegas. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking with our beloved Cameron about Lightlist. The topics discussed on this show are not financial advice, so be sure to discuss any financial matter with a qualified financial advisor. You can join the conversation by calling in at 605-4567, that's 605-4567, or in the chat room at
KCNR1460.com.
I always get dyslexic with that.
That's okay. I get that way with a lot of things. Hey, that's, no problem.
That's KCNR1460.com, or join our Telegram group at T.me at Tokens Radio Show. That's T.me, Tokens Radio Show. Today's show is brought to you by the Shasta Bitcoin Summit and Retreat.
And give us just a second, and we're going to bring that up for you. Maybe. We're having some technical difficulties this afternoon. This happens from time to time with these radio shows, so here we go. We'll try it again. Yeah, ready to go there, Chris?
Yeah, it's playing right now. It's
on sale. There it goes.
Get all the details and your tickets at ShastaBitcoinSummit.com or call 530-324-5175.
All righty, and you didn't get to hear the whole thing, but that was about the Shasta Bitcoin Summit. And I'm really excited to be a speaker at that. It's coming up soon. Well, not too soon. It'll be in March. And that's a two-day event. It starts with a retreat over at Shasta Caverns, and you'll be able to connect one-on-one with experts in the crypto industry. And on day two, we'll be enjoying some discussions with live panels with industry-leading professionals. And this is a two-day event that you do not want to miss. If you're a crypto enthusiast, or just someone that's interested, or you know people that are interested and you can't get them to stop talking about it, I would really, really advise getting in and checking this out, because there is no opportunities quite like it at this stage. And, you know, we all do know that crypto is tomorrow's big thing. So if you are interested in it, please get your tickets now at ShastaBitcoinSummit.com.
And just so I can add to that, Cameron, is it's for anybody at any level,
yes,
this whole summit that will be happening on March 18th and 19th. So I just wanted to put that out there. I know that we've got a guest coming on in just a few minutes. They're trying to get a hold of her right now. She's actually on the road. She was at what they called the takeover event. So give us a couple minutes, and we'll bring on our guests meanwhile.
Well, she might be stuck in snow right now for all that we know. Coming into the station today, I noticed some cars that had snow on it. And it's like, well, you know, she's driving back from Las Vegas, going back to Salt Lake. There's a good chance she's going to be running into some snow.
So while they're trying to get a hold of her, I'll introduce her a little bit. Her name is actually Charlene Brown, and she is the Crypto Queen. And my brother and I, Mark, do a show, and David, at 10 o'clock on Sundays. And we've had her on our show before to talk about crypto. And she's well-known in the crypto world. And she's always got lots of information and good things for us. So I'm looking. I think they're still trying to get a hold of her. So maybe
could we just talk about the retreat a little bit more?
Sure, yeah. You want to do that?
The details.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
So it is the 2-day retreat. Day one, it's a 2-day event. Day one is the retreat, and day two is the summit itself, where you get to connect with industry-leading professionals and actually experience some of the technology for yourself in a variety of different panels, so you can not just connect with experts but see what they're talking about. There will be the VR will be hosted by...
It's XB Reality with Brent Allgood. I always want to call him Alfred, but it's Brent Allgood at XB Reality. They just rebranded their company name. It used to be called Adaptive Workshops, and they changed it to XB Reality because of the experience within the virtual reality suite of itself. So it's more than just a workshop. It is definitely a full virtual experience. And we're going to be able to experience that at the summit.
That's going to be cool. That's going to be way cool. Yeah. And with that, I do believe we do have our guest on the line. We've got our reporter that's on the road, Charlene Brown, the crypto queen. She just got done in Vegas at the takeover event. So how are you, Charlene?
Hi, Linda. It's a great to talk to you. Great to be on the air. Hello to all your listeners and your fans. I hear you guys are doing great with your new crypto radio show, Tokens Radio.
Well, we're giving it a whirl. We had a little bit of technical difficulties today, but that's part of the territory. So tell us, Charlene, exactly what was the takeover event about in Vegas?
Well, I'm actually driving back to Salt Lake City. It was a 3-day jam-packed with all the leading thought leaders in the crypto space. We had this takeover event in Vegas hosted by Real Vision, and those in the crypto community know Raul Powell, and he and like his whole team, they're about over 600 people. It was a very private and intimate conference, everybody learning from each other. The speakers were sharp. They were on their game. We talked about everything from what's happening in crypto right now, how we got here, and what we can expect in the near future. So I'm coming off of a real high. I'm sorry if my voice sounds a little croaky, but this is a lot of talking. I did about 8 episodes for Tokens Radio Show out of Salt Lake City.
Awesome.
I know you guys are doing Tokens Radio in California, and we're going to eventually, hopefully, get this across the country. But a lot of talking and conversation, but I don't regret it.
Okay. Well, can you kind of tell us a few things that you might be able to share with our listeners that you learned over the 3 days?
Yes. What really touched me most and was the highlight was Bill Tai. He's a crypto enthusiast, but also a venture capitalist, and not only in crypto and technology, but it turned out he was one of the early investors and venture capitalists in Canva, the online design a space where you can do flyers and you can be a designer overnight with their technology, rivaling the Adobe design software. So now you have Canva. And he was early investing into that. That was a woman who started that company, and he helped her along. And some other, household names, companies that he's involved with. But he started investing in the NFT space. That's the non-fungible token space. And really what he kind of brought out that everybody knew is that not only are we able to tokenize or monetize or create an economy around things we create, like art and music and even, writings and books and whatever creative talents we have, we've been able to create an economy around that. What he was talking about is how we're actually going beyond that, and we're tokenizing the community that's built around these other economies, like the community that supports the art community, how to actually reap the value, taking the value of the contribution of people, even though someone goes online and make a comment on your work or say, I like this piece or I prefer this piece, this one speaks to me, that comment itself is of value. And now with NFT, the person who made that comment can actually rise to the point where they can sell their comments or they can sell their ability to give critique on other people's artwork. So it's this whole like a triple layer economy of you have the creation, you have the artist, and then the community itself has value. Where in the past we listened to an artist like a country music singer or your favorite, you know, entertainer, and you're always the one giving them money and supporting their economy. Now all the fans can generate economic value out of the fan base. And that's where they are talking about the blockchain is going to allow us to make everybody a contributor and also an economic driver.
Charlene, you had mentioned, we were talking offline about this, and about a social credit. And as I got off the phone with you, I was thinking, you know, that has some negative connotations to it. Is that how it was conveyed at the takeover event? Because the social credit scoring thing kind of reminds me of authoritarian type of governments like China, for instance, where people are punished basically if they don't have a social credit score that is acceptable to the government. Is that something similar here, or is that going to work in a different way?
You know, that's an interesting point. But think of that on the flip side. So the only problem with government in control of, because we already have a social credit score. It's the way you choose your friends. If someone offends you, you don't want to hang out with them anymore, right? If someone robbed you or did something to cause you to distrust them, you're not going to do business with them. So we already have the system in place. What the difference is that's coming out of the blockchain community is that you, each individual, can use their own social credit for their own economic engine. So if you're a good person and you do good in the community, now you can be rewarded. So it's not necessarily, oh, the government's going to limit me because I'm not a good player on the playing field, or I'm going to be struck down. It's how can I use my good nature to my benefit? So it's a kind of a different way of looking at it. Yes, there might be instances where people could, well, right now, if there's no way to know if a person is really the person they say they are, because people have kind of a different persona online, and they might have a different persona when they're with their friends and family. But I think with the blockchain, we're going to be able to, that line between your public persona and your personal more intimate setting is blurred. And so the true personalities, the true person is going to be more exposed. And this goes back to the blockchain being like a trustless system. You don't need to feel like, do I need to trust this person or not? Because you will be having access to a full display of how this person interacts. And so, for example, when I see someone make a negative comment on one of my things that I do online, I don't respond because it's more a reflection of them and their negativity, and I don't want to be caught up in that, you know what I mean? So if we look at the social infrastructure and the value of community in a positive sense, it's actually exciting. We were having so much fun thinking about the future, but like you said, on the flip side of everything, it could be used by others in a negative way. But I see a more positive angle or positive outlook on how we can use the social credit system. I don't think we should be rating people like people, you know, give you a 5-star. You're not a hotel or a car. You know, you're not an item.
Right.
So I don't like actually assigning a number. But I think it would be very valuable to have a better idea of, like, who do I want to be friends with? Who do I want to interact with? That's not saying that we should, you know, fall everybody in a camp. I think we're more human beings that are more complex than that. But this social infrastructure, it has the potential to benefit us more than it would be a negative in our life.
Well, that's a good place to probably leave it there. We'll have to pick this conversation up at another time. We're getting ready to go to break at this point. So it's a very interesting topic and definitely something we're going to have to talk a lot about. In the future.
And we appreciate you coming on and sharing with us, and we'll definitely have you in the back. And with that, we will go to a break. If you want to call in here, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Skipping down the sidewalk the other day, got my phone in my hand with my tunes on play. Looking at my wallet app to see if I want to buy any more BTC.
Bitcoin,
I'm checking out Bitcoin market prices. Apple don't want it on their devices. Government, they don't understand it. That's just how Satoshi planned it. Central bank, they don't know what to think. They want to control it, but they don't own it. Now they control, we stole it. Wish I know who to thank for making me my own bank. Satoshi Nakamoto, a real life superhero.
Satoshi, get to
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. It's that time of year again when family and friends gather together to celebrate the holidays. It's also a time to give thanks to Shasta County's 13,000 servicemen and women and their families. Thank you, KCNR, for supporting veterans in our community. Peace, hope, and joy to all this holiday season.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Didn't before, and all I've seen is logging onto the site for punk list, cryptography, decentralized money by Satoshi, making me seem like I just wanna know. You better know, you better know, you better now. I just wanna know. You better know, you better know, you better now. I just wanna know. You better know, you better know, you better now.
Welcome back to Tokens Radio Show. Again, we're in the studio. We have Cameron and Christy with us. And that was kind of an interesting conversation we had going with Charlene there about social scoring. And I thought maybe we could take the next few minutes and kind of just go over that and your guys' thoughts in regards to this social scoring. I know we've talked about it on other shows. So, Cameron, you want to kind of give us your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so... To me, that's it sounded like it's almost enabling something that a lot of people tend to fear, or even if they don't fear, they're at least heavily affected by, and it's something in the center of conversations these days, and that is mob rule and cancel culture. And we have a lot of examples of that happening on and off the blockchain, and you can look at you know, it's common in TV shows or something where a show's off the network for something that didn't offend 90% of its viewers until they found out that it offended that small 10% that got that trending. And then if you look at, I mean, this is just human nature, though, and it goes across any number of sectors. And we call it cancel culture now and mob rule, but humans following trends is just that basic human nature. And then I think providing that submitting an idea that you have a perfect judgment of someone's behavior off of a trend or off of what other people have rated them on, essentially, it ends up maybe someone makes one mistake and it pisses someone off a little bit. Sorry if I can't say that on the radio.
No, you're good.
I think it's okay.
You're good. Just say it. It's fine.
You're all good.
So maybe someone makes one mistake and it upsets someone, and we don't even know if this person's going to go and share the truth about this situation. They dramatize it in their mind, share it with all of their friends and family, and we've seen someone just get lit up on Facebook, and two people know the real story, and it's the person that posted it and the person that's being posted about. I really think that once we have like a karma, if you will, like a measurable karma for human beings, it's going to be much more bandwagoning and trying to be on the right opinion rather than examining an action for its the content of that action or the content of that individual. It's sort of it ends up clustering people down to a very limited set of actions potentially. One mistake and people start not liking you, and then that could swing their opinion of you one way or the other from, you know, there on forward. So,
well, I just don't like the idea of social scoring, period, in and of itself. We're seeing so much of that happen right now in China, for instance, and people are being oppressed just because they have an opinion. And the government or delegates of the government are making an opinion, which is just something that came out in the news. It was reported, I'm making a little digression here, about Facebook and their lawsuit recently, and how they were talking about their fact checkers. Okay, if I can say that correctly. And really, they're opinion checkers. They're not checking the facts. This was the John Stossel lawsuit. And they came out and admitted it, that that their checkers were really just didn't agree with the opinion of the factual statements that were made by John Stossel's reporting. That's a very slippery slope. I mean, on Facebook, I'm sure all of us in this room have experienced those who are extremely brave to say some horrendous things about people on Facebook, but if you were to have a face-to-face conversation with them, that conversation would never go that way. And just the connotation of a social scoring mechanism is that can't be okay, and I'm really hoping that this is not where it's going.
And to just tack one more thing, and this is conscious and unconscious bias outside of looking at someone's score from, you know, 1,000 people. We all have our underlying judgments and predispositions, right. And most of us keep them in check, but it'd be silly to say that any sort of ism is completely dead in this day and age, or any day and age. And again, you know, we're not all racist, we're not all sexist or anything like that. But there is that opportunity to where these small biases can end up weighing in heavily on people's livelihoods. So just to tack that little
out. Well, I was kind of busy for part of that conversation, so I just want to make sure that I understand when we're talking about social scoring, it has nothing to do with anything except somebody's opinion of how they perceive me?
Yes, and they want to tokenize that.
Okay.
And put it on the blockchain.
So everybody can see it.
Right. And
so if you don't like me and I go on the blockchain as Christy hates Linda or dislikes or whatever term you want to use, then the whole world gets to see that Christy doesn't like Linda.
Yeah, it just won't say Christy. It would be a long hash address.
Okay.
But it would be, if you saw that address several times, you say, gee, you know, this person really has an issue with this this person that they're reporting on, and it is there on the blockchain. And if the blockchain has an algorithmic value attached to it for a social credit score, where could that go? Could that affect your ability to get credit? Can that affect your ability to get a job? I mean,
they kind of use that now,
that's
right?
What's happening in China, except it's not on the blockchain.
Well, right, but we kind of have that now just
yes,
with regular scoring.
I mean, we could just look at Facebook, though, and you don't have to go all the way to China to find out that people just obliterate people online for the smallest things, and that's that for that person.
But we have a choice to get off Facebook.
Not the smallest things. Yeah,
at least right now
yeah.
We have a choice, but you don't have a choice to be off the blockchain.
Very true.
So you could be on Facebook and get lost in the news feed. Unless somebody decides to do a search on you, and then they really have a motivation to look at some information on you. But with this being on the blockchain for anybody and everybody to see, and it goes into an algorithmic type of scoring, and that could be in the hands of who knows which way this is going to go. But if it goes into a permissioned blockchain situation, that could be problematic for people.
Yeah, very much agreed.
Yeah.
Well, you want to move on? I know.
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. Well, maybe we should talk about a little bit of crypto hygiene.
Yes.
This seems to be a major, major topic and concern for a lot of the people that are just getting into crypto, or that have been in it. Just because somebody's been in it for a while doesn't mean that they have been using proper hygiene with their crypto and their investments. And what we're talking about is security, basically, is what we're talking about. People don't realize that of course, in all worlds, there's always bad people out there. And if you don't take care of your crypto correctly and have good hygiene, there's people that are going to come in and hack you or whatever. So I know this is something Christy and I and Cameron have talked a lot about, is the security piece of it. That's one of the reasons we got started doing what we do, is because of the security, you know, hot wallets, cold wallets, and things like that. And I just wanted to kind of touch on some of those things. Again, hot wallets, cold wallets, because it was a big concern for me when I first started. I didn't realize you had a private key and you had a public key and how much security there was in regards to the blockchain and getting involved in this. So,
yeah, and you know, crypto hygiene, it's not like, hey, going and washing your cell phone or something like that. I mean,
right.
But basically it's having some good practices that you follow all the time, very much like you may get up every day and take a shower. That's a routine that you have. So you're going to set a routine for taking care of your cryptos. You know, simple things like this is when you get onto your wallet, whether it's a hot wallet, cold wallet, whatever the case is that you're going to log out. Don't stay logged in. That's a very simple thing.
Right.
Log out. We run across this quite a bit. There are people who are out there investing away and they're completely exposed. All of their apps are open. Mm-hmm. They haven't logged out at all. Another thing that you might look at is having a secondary security feature called two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's a numeric phrase. You can get an application for it. Google Authenticator is one of the most popular ones, not one that I recommend. I think a product like Authy is something that's much better to use, but that's a slight digression there. But nonetheless, having a two-factor of authentication is great. So when you set this up on your account, after you log in with your password, then it will ask for your 2FA, and then you would go to your authenticator application, and these numbers, they might be, I think they're 6 digits, and they'll continually change, like every 5 seconds or so. And if you just look at your authenticator screen, you'll see the numbers keep changing and changing for the applications that you have that set up for. So you would simply put in that number, put it in your application, and boom, it allows you to get into your application and do the things that you want to do there. That's huge. And
yeah.
Those are the two basics that you really should have working on your applications or your desktop.
And just one more I would throw on there is if you're interested in participating in the DeFi space and not just using this as a store of value or trying to invest and hold, have a separate wallet that you only move the funds to for certain DeFi applications.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to stake money, move exactly as much as you want to stake. We can go into that in future episodes or future shows to really go in detail on what staking is and all that. But if you want to connect your wallet to something, only put have a separate wallet to connect, I'd say.
Right. And I'd like to add, too, I know a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, but we've had some people we've talked with, like they're on Coinbase.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, X amount of dollars sitting on Coinbase thinking, hey, I'm cool. Coinbase is well known. There's no problem. And they have all of their investments sitting there in Coinbase, and it's not protected really at all.
Mm-hmm.
So they do need to do, you know, like you were saying, you know, cold wallet, you know, and pull it off and disconnect and get out of there because people can come in and hack it.
It's not to say that Coinbase is not safe.
Right.
It
don't get me wrong. It is safe.
It's
but
how we operate. We're so used to having our apps on our phones, and we get lazy about it. Our emails are always open. We leave a lot of our apps open. I'm guilty for that as well. But when it comes to my cryptos, I make sure that I have my routine down so that I can protect those. That's my bank. That's my savings. So I look at it that way.
Right.
When people talk about security, a lot of people don't understand where the security of their money comes from because as far as they're concerned. Oh, my money's in the bank. It's secure. The most hackable thing is a human.
Right.
We all
right.
have our redundant passwords and stuff like that.
Right.
And crypto really does separate us from even being able to choose that password on it. Right. As far as that private key is concerned, that is something that is no one's going to break. Oh, they look like they're like whales. I'm going to guess their key now.
Right.
Right. And with that, we're going to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. And when we get back from break, we're going to have our own Cameron on, and he's going to talk about his project, Lightless. And with that, we'll go to a break.
Come on, hodlers, gather around. There's a new sheriff in town. Banks are on the run from BTC. So hide your children, hide your wives. Wall Street crews catching knives. Everyone wants a piece, including me. Well, there are those who've come around, try to take the whole thing down. Controlling what Satoshi gave for free. So ask your questions, tell your lies, and throw it on an open diamond. Cross whatever border that you please.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Now, Matt, I hear we're kind of in a mortgage boom right now. Can you tell us more about the benefits of possible refinancing your home right now?
So the thing right now that is different with refinancing ever in history, rates are at an all-time low, values are at an all-time high. So right now, people are able to lower their interest rate and get rid of mortgage insurance.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work-from-home phenomenon, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Auto Bodies. The auto repair industry is ever-changing, just like the automobile. Collision repair on today's vehicles requires an extensive investment in diagnostic equipment and training. The ability to scan the safety and electronic control systems after a collision is imperative. Coachmaster has made these investments. We have the technology. You can be assured that after a Coachmaster repair, your vehicle will be back to pre-loss condition. Upon delivery, your vehicle will be washed, vacuumed, and disinfected.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
With the coming of the holiday season, we would like to thank all of our customers, old and new, for trusting Coachmaster to take care of all of your collision repair needs. Our team would like to wish the community Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Santa, we don't repair sleighs, so be careful. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country, and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members. From the Timberline Heating and Air family, happy holidays.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is part of Operation Holiday Salute, honoring our veterans and the men and women who are currently on active duty for their courage, bravery, and sacrifice. North Valley Distributing at 530-222-1500 wants to thank the brave men and women who have taken an oath and have proudly served or are currently serving our country and the American people. North Valley Distributing, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
We need that crypto token.
The system isn't broken. Can we trust crypto token?
It's gotta be centralized, decentralized, centralized, decentralized. We need control, free enterprise.
Bring me the facts, please testify.
Fiat's the way a government controls
well,
the
Well, welcome back. We're here with Cameron and Linda, and we're going to talk with Cameron Walfort. He's the CEO of Lightlist. But before we go to Cameron, we did have a question from the chat room, and we'd like to get to that question. It's an important one and one that we're asked quite a bit. And the question is the Bitcoin blockchain crypto, what happens when it's hacked or the grid goes down? What backs us and proof if hacked? Well, I could take a stab at that, or any one of you.
I'd be happy to say, as far as it being hacked goes,
right,
that's next to impossible outside of some computational power that doesn't yet exist to hack the network. And then as far as the grid going down, I mean, what's going to happen to your credit card or any money that's in the bank, right, it's pretty much gone. No one's got enough hard evidence of anyone's transactions or accounting history to where it'll be anything. And then on that same note, I would argue that if the internet goes down, cash is essentially worthless, because we're not going back to 1950. We're going back to the Stone Age.
Right.
Yeah. And I'd like to just add to that, you know, people say, well, if the grid goes down, everybody pays with credit card, like you were saying, Cameron. I mean, not everybody. There's a few of us that don't. But 99.9% of the people out there probably pay with their debit card or some kind of plastic. What are you going to do when it goes down? You have nothing.
Right. And really, it's not to the advantage of the government to allow it to go down. So if that happens, then the ultimate control is given up to the people.
Right.
So, curious one, thank you so much for the question. We really appreciate it.
And we hope that we answered your concerns there. So,
yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah, it was.
So, we'd like to welcome our very own Cameron Walfort. He's the CEO of Lightlist. And Lightlist is a DeFi crypto project developed right here in Shasta County. Light is a simplified launchpad alternative that gives investors the opportunity to take part in the DeFi space, exposing them to the most innovative startup projects on the blockchain. So, Cameron, thanks for being here.
Yeah,
and tell
you.
Us a little bit about yourself and why you launched Lightlist.
Of course. So I've been an investor for a few years now and have always enjoyed it. Wolf of Wall Street got me into it when I was younger, which – obviously, he shouldn't be anyone's idol, but it was very fun to watch. At like 18, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get rich. That's going to happen. And I lost plenty of money plenty of times. So that's where that wound up. I took a break for a few years and then started kind of passively investing a couple years ago and got into crypto. And at the beginning of this year, I really started to take the plunge into it as I saw all these different coins and tokens taking off and running away faster than you could believe. People were getting rich in crypto faster than people were getting rich in the biggest shorts in history with the stock market. And just this opportunity for the redistribution of wealth wasn't very interesting to me. But what really, really got me on crypto is this level playing field, not necessarily that I have a dollar and I can become a millionaire, because that's just not the way the world works unless you bought Bitcoin in 2011. Well, even then.
You wouldn't have been rich then. You would be rich now.
It would be a very long hold for
right,
that.
Right.
But if what I liked about as far as the level playing field goes, though, is there's not venture capitalists. There's no true restrictions except those set by independent launch pads and things like that. As far as getting into a project from the beginning, there's this opportunity where you can actually be part of it. And if you get in on something that's in a pre-sale or or just launch and maybe even on a dip, you could end up owning chunks of future multi-million dollar to multi-billion dollar companies. And this is an opportunity that doesn't actually exist in the stock market to the common investor unless you're playing penny stocks that go off. IPOs are restricted to accredited investors.
Right. Yeah, this creates a level playing field for everybody. Mm-hmm. So if you have $10 to invest, you can participate. You don't have to be an accredited investor of having a minimum of $250,000 sitting in your account and having to prove that you have $1 million in assets or whatever the case is to be able to participate and play with the big boys. You have a great idea here behind your project. Mm-hmm. And can you explain, it seems as though that there's three processes here. So you plant seeds, shine some light, and then sprouts. Can you explain what those mean?
Yeah, so traditional finance, when you want to start a project, you need seed funding.
Okay.
So to kind of play on the metaphor, so to speak, if you have a project that's about to launch, you submit your project as a seed, and right holders, our token holders, are able to browse these seeds and shine or essentially bet their tokens on – well, they're not betting because they don't lose anything but they stake their tokens on these projects that look most interesting to them. And the projects or the seeds that have the most light shined on them turn into sprouts. So they actually get to take off and people can start harvesting their gains. So then we move into that sprout phase. What a sprout is a project that was successful through our seed phases, just to be as clear as possible on everything. It's not like its own token or anything. It's the project's token. They're just called sprouts for theming with our site. Once a project is in the sprout phase, that is its pre-sale that is sold at a fixed rate. So if you wanted to pretend it's an initial public offering, that's probably the closest thing that to compare it to. And you're getting it at a fixed supply of it. And once all those tokens are sold out or once they're time expires to get everything sold, it goes into a harvest phase. And what that does is make it so that token is immediately tradable on a variety of different exchanges, as well as our own aggregation protocol, meaning that our users and a variety of other users have access to that token from its inception, essentially. From its launch, users on a variety of platforms. From its inception, users on our platform have that firsthand access that even in the world of DeFi is very hard to find because you could go and look, cruise Reddit or Medium and
right.
just search around. But at the end of the day, people can say what they want about their project. They can sell it on all kinds of things. But if you don't have a technical degree, if you're not well-versed in DeFi, or you could even understand everything they're saying, and they could just take the money and go. So we are sort of offering a layer of security between that initial sale and moving forward from there, as we do force the project itself to lock tokens so that they can't just dump on their investors at launch. So we've done as much as we see possible to prevent those heavy rug pulls.
So I have a question. How does a project get onto list? Is this where somebody would go ahead and maybe go to another exchange and find a project that they're interested in and they bring it to light, or does that project come to light?
Initially, we were going to have it so users could submit them. But to ensure firsthand access, we've made it so if they want to go through that seed sprout harvest phase, the project itself has to submit. That being said, we do have grant opportunities for projects that are already up and going where they can apply for a grant. We give them light, and then they can put their token next to our token on an exchange of their choosing, and that will be available through our aggregation protocol. And for those that don't know, aggregation is essentially a really smart AI goes in the background and looks on a variety of exchanges to see where it can find the cheapest place to buy something, and it swaps it seamlessly right there, and some of them even hop through like a variety of exchanges to ensure that cheapest token price.
So I just want to make sure that I'm clear. So your company, so to speak, encompasses many. It's not just one project. It could be several projects that are brought into the fold so people can invest and have the light shine it and then, you know, do the seeds and the harvest and everything.
Yeah, so holding our token gives you, like, this unique opportunity to have that firsthand access. But what our token's just sort of like a stepping stone to this opportunity that we're providing. And if you're shining, if you're really actively participating in projects that you're shining on Takeoff, you get rewards from those projects and their token. And the thought being that if it did well enough to take off and there's that much investor interest on it, that portion of tokens that you're getting as a reward is actually going to be worth something down the road because, you know, say 75% of our users were interested in that. That's not necessarily a focus group, but you could almost have some idea of what that's going to look like on the broader scale when it hits the right amount of eyes is roughly 75%
cool.
of eyes.
Cool. So one thing you said that was intriguing to me, so when a project comes to you, your company actually does a bit of a verification process to make sure that they're legitimate, that they're just not a grab-and-run type of situation.
So in the name of decentralization, we can't actually stop anyone from submitting. So they have to hold NFTs from our partners that do verifications.
All right.
So they don't have to hold it. They could submit. They won't have essentially stamps of approval. What you want to look for going on our project to see that a project is in it or is 100% transparent is they'll have four different stamps, two of them for doxing, one of them for auditing, and another that they actually have marketing plans, essentially. They have a marketing contract. So you can see that not only are they committed to the project in long term, they have that marketing plan, but they're then be held accountable because they have their doxing stamps, and then it's going to perform as advertised because of the audits.
Okay. That's very good. We've got just about a minute and a half back or left.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about the tokenomics and how they work?
Yeah, so our token is did you want our token or tokenomics in general? Sorry.
About Lightless tokenomics.
Sorry. So Light is it's a capped token and it has no minting function. We are on our version 2. The initial one had minting functions and it would stop at 50 million. This one we minted all 50 million tokens up front and had 6.2 million unlocked from the get-go, and then 5 million a year will be unlocked over the next eight or nine years. Sorry. So in 9 years after all those tokens are unlocked, then there will be absolutely no more light to enter the ecosystem. Ideally, what our token is designed around is bridging onto our future blockchain network once we are set up for that. And the goal being there to really get away from the opportunity of rug pulls and anything that could endanger investors in the DeFi space. We really want to simplify it and make it a little bit more friendly for everyone.
Well, then we want to thank you for sharing that with us. I know that we're running out of time, and we could sit here and talk more and more about this than we will in the future. But I do know we're about, a minute out or whatever. So
before we go, I just want to say I think it's incredible that you made this project here in Shasta County, everybody. It's here local.
Once again, we got very intelligent people.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's very cool. And again, thank you. And with that, I just want to get a plug in for our retreat. Why does Bitcoin provide the highest probability of opportunity for everybody out there? If you want to learn more about it and get engaged with us, we're having the Shasta Bitcoin Summit and Retreat on Friday and Saturday, March 18th and 19th. 1- and 2-day tickets are on sale. Get all the details and your tickets at ShastaBitcoinSummit.com. And we will be on again next Sunday. at 2 o'clock, and I'm not sure who our guest is. Oh, no, it's Christmas, isn't it? So I don't think, I don't know.
Actually, we have Brent Allgood.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Next week is Brent Allgood.
Brent Allgood. And with that, we will see you all next week. Thanks again. Have a great week.
Thank you very much.
Going into the old blockchain, oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain, till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.